Well, good morning, everyone. I first want to thank the Heritage Foundation and President Kay Coles James. Thank you for hosting me today. First as a private citizen and then as a member of Congress, and even today, the Heritage Foundation has shaped my thinking on matters of the world and public policy issue. I am grateful for that excellent work. And thanks for reminding me I can't talk about anything else but what we're talking about today, 3 years on. But it's an honor to be here. 2 weeks ago, President Trump terminated the United States' participation in the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, more commonly known as the Iran nuclear deal. President Trump withdrew from the deal for a simple reason. It failed to guarantee the safety of the American people from the risk created by the leaders of the Islamic Republic of Iran. No more. No more wealth creation for Iranian kleptocrats. No more acceptance of missiles landing in Riyadh and in the Golan Heights. No more cost-free expansions of Iranian power. No more. The JCPOA put the world at risk because of its fatal flaws. And they're worth recounting at some length today, if only for the purpose of ensuring that subsequent arrangements do not repeat them. For example, the weak sunset provisions of the JCPOA merely delayed the inevitable nuclear weapons capability of the Iranian regime. After the countdown clock ran out on the deal's sunset provisions, Iran would be free for a quick sprint to the bomb, setting off a potentially catastrophic arms race in the region. Indeed, the very brevity of the delay in the Iranian nuclear program itself incentivized Middle Eastern proliferation. Moreover, as we have seen from Israel's recent remarkable intelligence operation, Iran has lied for years about having had a nuclear weapons program. Iran entered into the JCPOA in bad faith. It is worth noting that even today, the regime continues to lie. Just last month, Iranian Foreign Minister Zarif told a Sunday morning news show, "We never wanted to produce a bomb." This claim would be laughable if not for the willful deception behind it. Not only did the Ahmad program exist, the Iranians took great care, though as we can see now, not enough care, to protect, hide, and preserve the work of Mohsen Fakhrizadeh Mahabadi and his gang of nuclear scientists. The JCPOA had additional shortcomings as well. The mechanisms for inspecting and verifying Iran's compliance with the deal were simply not strong enough. The deal did nothing to address Iran's continuing development of ballistic and cruise missiles, which could deliver nuclear warheads. The JCPOA permitted the Iranian regime to use the money from the JCPOA to boost the economic fortunes of a struggling people, but the regime's leaders refused to do so. Instead, the government spent its newfound treasure fueling proxy wars across the Middle East and lining the pockets of Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis. Remember, Iran advanced its march across the Middle East during the JCPOA. Qasem Soleimani has been playing with house money that has become blood money. Wealth created by the West has fueled his campaigns. Strategically, the Obama administration made a bet that the deal would spur Iran to stop its rogue state actions and conform to international norms. That bet was a loser with massive repercussions for all of the people living in the Middle East. The idea of the JCPOA as a strategic pillar of stability in the Middle East was captured perfectly by John Kerry when he said, quote, "I know the Middle East that is on fire is going to be more manageable with this deal," end of quote. Query whether the Middle East is more manageable today than it was when they embarked on the JCPOA. Lebanon is even more comfortable home for Hezbollah today than it was when we embarked on the JCPOA. Hezbollah is now armed to the teeth by Iran and has its sight set on Israel. Thanks to Iran, Hezbollah provides the ground forces for the military expedition in Syria. The IRGC, too, has continued to pump thousands of fighters into Syria to prop up the murderous Assad regime and help make that country 71,000 square miles of kill zone. Iran perpetuates a conflict that has displaced more than 6 million Syrians and caused over 5 million to seek refuge outside of its borders. These refugees include foreign fighters who have crossed into Europe and threatened terrorist attacks in those countries. In Iraq, Iran sponsors Shia militia groups and terrorists to infiltrate and undermine the Iraqi security forces and jeopardize Iraq's sovereignty. All of this during the JCPOA. In Yemen, Iran's support for the Houthi militia fuels a conflict that continues to starve the Yemeni people and hold them under the threat of terror. The IRGC has also given Houthi missiles to attack civilian targets in Saudi Arabia and the Emirates and to threaten international shipping in the Red Sea. And in Afghanistan, Iran's support to the Taliban in the form of weapons and funding leads to further violence and hinders peace and stability for the Afghan people. Today, the Iranian Quds Force conducts covert assassination operations in the heart of Europe. We should remember, too, that during the JCPOA, Iran continues to hold Americans hostage. Bakir Namazi, Siamak Namazi, Shewu Wong, and Bob Levinson has been missing for over 11 years. I will note for the American people, you should know we are working diligently to bring each American missing wrongfully detained in Iran home. The list continues. Iran continues to be, during the JCPOA, the world's largest sponsor of terror. It continues to serve as sanctuary for Al-Qaeda, as it has done since 9/11, and remains unwilling to bring to justice senior Al-Qaeda members residing in Tehran. Today, we ask the Iranian people, is this what you want your country to be known for? For being a co-conspirator with Hezbollah, Hamas, the Taliban, and Al-Qaeda? The United States believes you deserve better. And I have an additional point for the Iranian people to ponder. Here in the West, President Rouhani and Foreign Minister Zarif are often held apart from the regime's unwise terrorists and malign behavior. They are treated somehow differently. The West says, boy, if only they could control Ayatollah Khomeini and Qasem Soleimani, then things would be great. Yet Rouhani and Zarif are your elected leaders. Are they not the most responsible for your economic struggles? Are these two not responsible for wasting Iranian lives throughout the Middle East? It's worth the Iranian people considering. Because instead of helping their own citizens, the regime continues to seek a corridor stretching from Iran's borders to the shores of the Mediterranean. Iran wants this corridor to transport fighters and advanced weapon systems to Israel's doorsteps. Indeed, in recent months, the IRGC has flown an armed drone into Israeli airspace and launched salvos of rockets into the Golan Heights from Syria. Our steadfast ally has asserted its sovereign right of self-defense in response, a stance the United States will continue to unequivocally support. So the bet that the JCPOA would increase Middle East stability was a bad one for America, for Europe, for the Middle East, and indeed for the entire world. It is clear that the JCPOA has not ended Iran's nuclear ambitions, nor did it deter its quest for a regional hegemony. Iran's leaders saw a deal as the starting gun for the march across the Middle East. So, the path forward. America's commitment to the Iran strategy President Trump laid down in October remains. It will now be executed outside of the JCPOA. We'll continue to work with allies to counter the regime's destabilizing activities in the region, block their financing of terror, and address Iran's proliferation of missiles and other advanced weapon systems that threaten peace and stability. We will also ensure Iran has no path to a nuclear weapon. Not now, not ever. Following our withdrawal from the JCPOA, President Trump has asked me to achieve these goals on Iran. We'll pursue those goals along several lines of effort. First, we will apply unprecedented financial pressure on the Iranian regime. The leaders in Tehran will have no doubt about our seriousness. Thanks to our colleagues at the Department of Treasury, sanctions are going back in full effect and new ones are coming. Last week, we imposed sanctions on the head of Iran's central bank and other entities that were funneling money to the IRGC Quds Force. They were also providing money to Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations. The Iranian regime should know that this is just the beginning. The sting of sanctions will be painful if the regime does not change its course from the unacceptable and unproductive path it has chosen to one that rejoins the League of Nations. These will indeed end up being the strongest sanctions in history when we are complete. The regime has been fighting all over the Middle East for years. After our sanctions come in force, it will be battling to keep its economy alive. Iran will be forced to make a choice, either fight to keep its economy off life support at home or keep squandering precious wealth on fights abroad. It will not have the resources to do both. Second, I will work closely with the Department of Defense and our regional allies to deter Iranian aggression. We will ensure freedom of navigation on the waters in the region. We will work to prevent and counteract any Iranian malign cyber activity. We will track down Iranian operatives and their Hezbollah proxies operating around the world, and we will crush them. Iran will never again have carte blanche to dominate the Middle East. And I'd remind the leadership in Iran what President Trump said. If they restart their nuclear program, it will mean bigger problems than they'd ever had before. Third, we will also advocate tirelessly for the Iranian people. The regime must improve how it treats its citizens. It must protect the human rights of every Iranian. It must cease wasting Iran's wealth abroad. We ask that our international partners continue to add their voice to ours in condemning Iran's treatment of its own citizens. The protests of the past few months show that the Iranian people are deeply frustrated with their own government's failures. The Iranian economy is struggling as a result of bad Iranian decisions. Workers aren't getting paid. Strikes are a daily occurrence, and the rial is plummeting. Youth unemployment is at a staggering 25%. Government mismanagement of Iran's natural resources has led to severe droughts and other environmental crises as well. Look, these problems are compounded by enormous corruption inside of Iran, and the Iranian people can smell it. The protests last winter showed that many are angry at the regime that keeps for itself what the regime steals from its people. And Iranians, too, are angry at regime elite that commits hundreds of millions of dollars to military operations and terrorist groups abroad, while the Iranian people cry out for a simple life with jobs and opportunity and with liberty. The Iranian regime's response to the protests has only exposed the country's leadership as running scared. Thousands have been jailed arbitrarily, and at least dozens have been killed. As seen from the hijab protests, the brutal men of the regime seem to be particularly terrified by Iranian women who are demanding their rights. As human beings with inherent dignity and inalienable rights, the women of Iran deserve the same freedoms that the men of Iran possess. Look, this is all on top of a well-documented terror and torture that the regime has inflicted for decades on those who dissent from the regime's ideology. The Iranian regime is going to ultimately have to look itself in the mirror. The Iranian people, especially its youth, are increasingly eager for economic, political, and social change. The United States stands with those longing for a country of economic opportunity, government transparency, fairness, and greater liberty. We hope, indeed we expect, that the Iranian regime will come to its senses and support, not suppress, the aspirations of its own citizens. We're open to new steps with not only our allies and partners, but with Iran as well, but only if Iran is willing to make major changes. As President Trump said 2 weeks ago, he is ready, willing, and able to negotiate a new deal. But the deal is not the objective. Our goal is to protect the American people. Any new agreement will make sure Iran never acquires a nuclear weapon and will deter the regime's malign behavior in a way that the JCPOA never could. We will not repeat the mistakes of past administrations, and we will not renegotiate the JCPOA itself. The Iranian wave of destruction, the reason, in just the last few years is proof that Iran's nuclear aspirations cannot be separated from the overall security picture. So what should it be? We must beginning to define what it is that we demand from Iran. First, Iran must declare to the IAEA full account of the prior military dimensions of its nuclear program and permanently and verifiably abandon such work in perpetuity. Second, Iran must stop enrichment and never pursue plutonium reprocessing. This includes closing its heavy water reactor. Third, Iran must also provide the IAEA with unqualified access to all sites throughout the entire country. Iran must end its proliferation of ballistic missiles and halt further launching or development of nuclear-capable missile systems. Iran must release all U.S. citizens, as well as citizens of our partners and allies, each of them detained on spurious charges. Iran must end support to Middle East terrorist groups, including Lebanese Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Iran must respect the sovereignty of the Iraqi government and permit the disarming, demobilization, and reintegration of Shia militias. Iran must also end its military support for the Houthi militia and work towards a peaceful political settlement in Yemen. Iran must withdraw all forces under Iranian command throughout the entirety of Syria. Iran, too, must end support for the Taliban and other terrorists in Afghanistan and the region and cease harboring senior al-Qaeda leaders. Iran, too, must end the IRG Quds Force's support for terrorists and militant partners around the world. And two, Iran must end its threatening behavior against its neighbors, many of whom are U.S. allies. This certainly includes its threats to destroy Israel and its firing of missiles into Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates. It also includes threats to international shipping and destructive cyber attacks. You know, that list is pretty long, but if you take a look at it, these are 12 very basic requirements. The length of the list is simply a scope of the malign behavior of Iran. We didn't create the list. They did. From my conversation with European friends, I know that they broadly share these same views of what the Iranian regime must do to gain acceptance in the international community. I ask that America's allies join us in calling for the Iranian government to act more responsibly. In exchange for major changes in Iran, the United States is prepared to take actions which will benefit the Iranian people. These areas of action include a number of things. First, once this is achieved, we're prepared to end the principal components of every one of our sanctions against the regime. We're happy at that point to reestablish full diplomatic and commercial relationships with Iran. And we're prepared to admit Iran to have advanced technology. If Iran makes this fundamental strategic shift, we too are prepared to support the modernization, reintegration of the Iranian economy into the international economic system. But relief from our efforts will come only when we see tangible, demonstrated, and sustained shifts in Tehran's policies. We acknowledge Iran's right to defend its people, but not its actions, which jeopardize world citizens. Also, in contrast to the previous administration, we want to include Congress as a partner in this process. We want our efforts to have broad support with the American people and endure beyond the Trump administration. A treaty would be our preferred way to go. Unlike the JCPOA, which was broadly rejected across both sides of the aisle, an agreement that President Trump proposes would surely garner this type of widespread support from our elected leaders and the American people. In the strategy we laid out today, we want the support of our most important allies and partners in the region and around the globe. Certainly our European friends, but much more than that. I want the Australians, the Bahrainis, the Egyptians, the Indians, the Japanese, the Jordanians, the Kuwaitis, the Omanis, the Qataris, the Saudi Arabians, South Korea, the UAE, and many, many others worldwide to join in this effort against the Islamic Republic of Iran. I know that those countries share the same goals. They understand the challenge the same way that America does. Indeed, we welcome any nation which is sick and tired of the nuclear threats, the terrorism, the missile proliferation, and the brutality of regime, which is at odds with world peace, a country that continues to inflict chaos on innocent people. Indeed, while to some the changes in Iranian behavior we seek may seem unrealistic, we should recall that what we are pursuing was the global consensus before the JCPOA. For example, in 2012, President Obama said, quote, "The deal we'll accept is that they end their nuclear program," end of quote. That didn't happen. In 2006, the P5 voted at the Security Council for Iran to immediately suspend all enrichment activities. That didn't happen. In 2013, the French foreign minister said he was wary of being sucked into a, quote, "con game," end of quote, over allowing Iran to continue uranium enrichment. In 2015, John Kerry said, quote, "We don't recognize the right to enrich," end of quote. Yet, the Iranians are enriching even as we sit here today. So we're not asking anything other than that Iranian behavior be consistent with global norms widely recognized before the JCPOA. And we want to eliminate their capacity to threaten our world with those nuclear activities. With respect to its nuclear activities, why would we allow Iran more capability than we've permitted the United Arab Emirates and then we're asking for the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia? We understand that our reimposition of sanctions and the coming pressure campaign on the Iranian regime will pose financial and economic difficulties for a number of our friends. Indeed, it imposes economic challenges to America as well. These are markets our businesses would love to sell into as well. And we want to hear their concerns. But, you know, we will hold those doing prohibited business in Iran to account. Over the coming weeks, we will send teams of specialists to countries around the world to further explain administration policy, to discuss the implications of sanctions reimposition, and to listen. I know I've spent a great deal of time with our allies in my first 3 weeks. I know that they may decide to try and keep their old nuclear deal going with Tehran. That is certainly their decision to make. They know where we stand. Next year marks the 40th anniversary of the Islamic Republic revolution in Iran. At this milestone, we have to ask, what has the Iranian revolution given to the Iranian people? The regime reaps a harvest of suffering and death in the Middle East at the expense of its own citizens. Iran's economy is stagnant and without direction and about to get worse. Its young people are withering under the weight of frustrated ambitions. They are longing to pursue the freedoms and opportunities of the 21st century. Iran's leaders can change all of this if they choose to do so. Ali Khamenei has been supreme leader since 1989. He will not live forever, nor will the Iranian people abide the rigid rules of tyrants forever. For two generations, the Iranian regime has exacted a heavy toll on its own people and the world. The hard grip of repression is all that millions of Iranians have ever known. Now's the time for the supreme leader and the Iranian regime to summon the courage to do something historically beneficial for its own people, for this ancient and proud nation. As for the United States, our eyes are clear as to the nature of this regime, but our ears are open to what may be possible. Unlike the previous administration, we are looking for outcomes that benefit the Iranian people, not just the regime. If anyone, especially the leaders of Iran, doubts the president's sincerity or his vision, let them look at our diplomacy with North Korea. Our willingness to meet with Kim Jong-un underscores the Trump administration's commitment to diplomacy to help solve the greatest challenges, even with our staunchest adversaries. But that willingness has been accompanied by a painful pressure campaign that reflects our commitment to resolve this challenge forever. To the Ayatollah, to President Rouhani, and to other Iranian leaders, understand that your current activities will be met with steely resolve. My final message today is in fact to the Iranian people. I want to repeat President Trump's words from October. President Trump said that we stand in total solidarity with the Iranian regime's longest suffering victims, its own people. The citizens of Iran have paid a heavy price for the violence and extremism of their leaders. The Iranian people long to reclaim their country's proud history, its culture, its civilization, and its cooperation with its neighbors. It is America's hope that our labors toward peace and security will bear fruit for the long-suffering people of Iran. We long to see them prosper and flourish as in past decades, and indeed as never before. Today, the United States of America is proud to take a new course towards that objective. Thank you.